WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, on this Tuesday, March 22nd, 2016. I hope that you guys are having a great, great start to your work week. We have a great show in store for all of you this afternoon, as I am just getting back from the Breslin Center, as Tom Izzo, the head coach of the Michigan State men's basketball team, he held his end of the season press conference. I can't believe I'm saying that still. It's so early in March when it comes to the NCAA tourney, and usually we are not accustomed to saying that the Michigan State men's basketball team has been eliminated in the first weekend. But yeah, that's what took place. And Izzo had to face the music, and it was a packed house. Many media members in the room to throw questions at Izzo to sort of sum up this year. Again, the Middle Tennessee State University loss. Just crazy stuff, all right? You don't want to miss what Tom Izzo had to say. We're going to bring you that audio. We will also chat a bit about the Detroit Pistons as they continue to tread water and stay in the hunt for the NBA playoffs. You don't want to miss that. Also, tonight is the opening night of high school boys basketball quarterfinal action. And we have a few local teams that will be playing. Eric Doc Love, high school sports commentator for the team, 92.1 FM, will be joining me on the air to give us a bit of a preview of the local action taking place tonight. And on the back end of the show, we lighten the mood with Tickle Tuesday. Call 517-355 to be a part of the show. But hey, 355-9527, didn't finish the number there. Crazy Tuesday, all right, folks? But hey, to start the show, here are your current sports quick hit headliners. All right, let's give you guys a rundown of the high school boys basketball quarterfinals tonight. The MHSAA boys basketball quarterfinals begin, and some area teams are still competing for a spot at the Breslin Center this weekend. In Class A, we've got Lansing Everett taking on Hudsonville tonight at Lansing Eastern High School. Tip-off set for 7 p.m. at Don Johnson Fieldhouse. In Class B, the Hornets of Williamson will face off against River Rouge. Also at 7 p.m., their game will take place at Charlotte. In Class C, Ithaca takes on Flint Beecher down at Troy Athens High School. 7 p.m. tip for that one as well. And lastly, in Class D, Fulton will take on Bel Air up at Traverse City West. That game tipping off an hour earlier than the rest at 6 p.m. Michigan State Athletic Director Mark Hollis has said the issues that kept the Michigan State women's basketball team from hosting the first round of the tournament will be resolved for next season. That's right, some good news coming. The Spartans women's basketball team received a 4 seed in this year's tournament, which should have given them home court advantage for their first two games. However, the Breslin was already contracted to the MHSAA for the girls' basketball state final, so the 5th seed, Mississippi State Bulldogs, played host for the tournament instead. Now, Michigan State ended up losing to Mississippi State, as we talked about yesterday, in a close game where Michigan State missed 2 critical free throws in the final seconds by Brandy Agee in front of the deafening crowd. But it is said again by AD Mark Hollis that Michigan State will host the tourney next season. So, yeah, a bit of a consolation prize there. Looking forward to that. The Lansing Community College boys basketball team finished 5th in the national tournament this past weekend after losing in the second round of the tournament to Essex County. The Stars pulled off 2 straight wins to finish in 5th place. LCC finished the regular season ranked number 4 and finished 2nd in the state after losing in the state finals. Jim Harbaugh and the Michigan Wolverines have their first verbal commitment of, get this, the 2018 class. Are you kidding me? 2018, that's 2 years from now. Linebacker from Springfield, Ohio, Antoine Johnson tweeted out his commitment on Monday saying, quote, would like to announce that I have verbally committed to the University of Michigan, hashtag go blue. Currently a sophomore in high school, Johnson is 6'1" and 210. And according to 247 Sports, he has a 4-star rating and he is ranked number 82 in the country and number 3 at inside linebacker. The Detroit Pistons, how about the red, white, and royal blue? They got a much-needed win last night over the Milwaukee Bucks, winning 92-91 on a tip-in at the buzzer by Andre Drummond. Down 91-90 with 4 seconds remaining, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope pulled up for a long jump shot that missed, but Drummond, he got great positioning and was there to tip it in right before the buzzer sounded. Drummond finished the game with 16 rebounds and 14 points, and the 37 and 34 Pistons find themselves just barely outside of the playoffs behind the Chicago Bulls. The Detroit Red Wings look to continue their current two-game win streak tonight against the Lightning in Tampa Bay. The Wings have a record of 36, 25, and 11, and had struggled lately, losing 9 of 14. But since that skid, they have won two in a row and pulled back ahead of the Philadelphia Flyers for the last wild card spot in the Eastern Conference. And Raymond Moore, the tournament director for the Indian Wells Tennis Tournament, has stepped down after making sexist remarks to reporters on Sunday. During an interview, Moore stated, quote, "In my next life, when I come back, I want to be someone in the WTA because they ride on the coattails of men," end quote, referring to the organization that runs the women's game. Back to a quote, quote, "They don't have, they don't make any decisions, and they are lucky. They are very, very lucky. If I was a lady player, I'd go down every night on my knees and thank God that Roger Federer and Rafael Nadal were born, because they have carried this sport. They really have," end quote. Oh, you can't say that. Moore's comments drew reactions from female tennis stars such as Serena Williams and Billie Jean King. He later apologized for the comments, but nonetheless resigned just a day later. And also, two Los Angeles Lakers, Nick Young and Jordan Clarkson, have been accused of sexual assault in L.A. on Sunday night. That wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. Call in to be a part of today's show, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Without further ado, how about we start the show? Welcome to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. Again, folks, happy, happy Tuesday. We've got a ton to get to on today's show. It's going to be an exciting night in mid-Michigan as, of course, as I mentioned, high school boys basketball quarterfinals will get underway. After the dust settles on tonight's action, we will know who will be playing at the Breslin Center this weekend. Again, we have four local teams playing. Four local teams. Lansing Everett, Williamston, Ithaca, and Fulton. And really looking forward to checking out that Lansing Everett and Hudsonville game. I will be at Lansing Eastern tonight. Tip-off is set for 7 p.m. in that game. Really remarkable what Coach Desmond Ferguson and his team has done, been able to pull off here in the postseason. Of course, we will have assistant coach of the Everett Vikings on Current Sports TV tomorrow at 6 p.m. That's where that's when we tape each and every Wednesday night at 6 p.m. after a brief hiatus the past few weeks due to pledge month here at WKAR-TV. We're back at it. Dale Beard, again, assistant coach for the Everett Vikings, who also played point guard, won Magic Johnson's 1979, I believe it was. It was back in the 70s. I don't know. I think it was 79. But 1970s Everett state championship team. We will invite Dale to the show, and hopefully, you know, this really dictates the mood of how that interview will go if Lansing Everett does beat Hutsonville. So definitely rooting for Everett to pull that one off, so we will have a chipper conversation, and not one that recaps the season that could have been. So you don't want to miss that again. That will take place tomorrow at our WKAR-TV studios at 6 p.m. But what you just heard in that montage was, of course, the Detroit Pistons. How about the Pistons, folks? Right now, staying competitive in the NBA's Eastern Conference, fighting for a final spot in the NBA playoffs in the Eastern Conference. And right now, things are getting very, very interesting right now. Because right now, you have about, you know, four teams really competing for that spot. You've got the Washington Wizards right behind the Pistons at number 10 in the Eastern Conference. They sit at 35-35, 500. Then the Pistons sit at 37-34. The Chicago Bulls at 36-33, and the Indiana Pacers at 37-33. And every game important from here on out for the Pistons. They can't afford really any loss, to be honest, because you just don't know what the three other teams are going to do on any given night. But the Pistons getting a 92-91 win over the Milwaukee Bucks, a game in which they trailed by double digits, made a great comeback in that game. And what really stood out to me, and what stands out to me when discussing the Detroit Pistons, is, you know, just energy and effort on the defensive end. You know, that's really what it comes down to for this Detroit Pistons team. They look like, you know, in the waning moments of that game, an entirely different defensive team than what they had previously looked like in the past, prior three quarters. And they certainly bruised the Bucks when it came to the offensive boards in the second half. And that's ideally what allowed Andre Drummond to get great positioning after Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. And, who, you know, looking at that Kentavious Caldwell-Pope shot, he had shot 2 3-pointers prior to that one that were just bad shots. You know, trying to play hero ball is what I call it, when the Pistons didn't need to. Where they were having success is when they were attacking the paint and getting things down low in the paint. But, you know, KCP just sometimes just gets a little too antsy. Same thing I can say about, you know, Reggie Jackson. But, you know, what's so interesting about Reggie Jackson is, you know, I sometimes question Reggie's shot selection. But with under 3 minutes left to play in an NBA game, Reggie Jackson is right now the best in the league. You can't argue with the numbers. Right now, and I keep bringing up this stat because he still holds it down, he's number one in field goal percentage. He's number one in field goals made. And number two in three-pointers made with under 3 minutes left to play in an NBA game. And Reggie Jackson hit some big shots down the stretch in that game as well. And again, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope almost gave the game up because he, you know, decided to shoot some errant threes, you know, early on in the shot clock. But thank goodness for the franchise player that is Andre Drummond. He was 7 of 16 last night. He had 16 rebounds, 14 points. He is a walking double-double, a rebounding machine, clearly the best rebounder that we have in the game today, and one of the premier big men that we have in today's game as well. An all-star this season. He's just a fantastic player. But looking at the offensive production from this squad, when looking at the starters, I mean, Marcus Morris, he was really the star of the night for me. You know, he had 21 points. And what I love about Marcus Morris is that he can take you inside, outside. He's got a pretty polished game as well. He plays solid defense when he's in tune with that side of the basketball. He was 8 of 9 from the floor, 4 of 4 from three-point land. How impressive is that? Talk about efficient. Man, Marcus Morris, fantastic. Tobias Harris, he went 4 of 12 from the floor, 13 points for him. And a guy who I think has been the star other than Marcus Morris. But the star, when looking at the past two games, of course, the Pistons got a win over Brooklyn, over BK, the game before this one against the Bucks. And this guy just went off, other than Aaron Baines, who went off in that game against Brooklyn as well. But Anthony Tolliver has been so good coming off the bench for the Detroit Pistons. He played 16 minutes last night. He was 4 of 9 from the field, 3 of 8 from three-point land, 11 points, 11 crucial points for the Pistons in the second half. So shout-out to Anthony Tolliver and also to Aaron Baines. I mean, I love that 1-2 combo coming off the bench when it comes to Tolliver and Baines. They are giving the Pistons great minutes. Great efficiency coming off the bench, and things are going to be interesting now as we come down. As the games go by, as we hit the home stretch of the year for the NBA, the Pistons right now. Again, you don't want to get too high. You know, a great win, a thrilling win over the Milwaukee Bucks last night at the buzzer, tip in Andre Drummond. It's all fine and dandy, but again, you know, you're competing with three other teams for a shot at the playoffs. So hopefully Stan Van Gundy can pull off some magic. All right, folks, well, I'm just now getting back. I had to cram today because I'm just now getting back from the Breslin Center as Tom Izzo held his end of the season press conference. Yeah, again, a bit odd that I'm saying that because we are used to Tom Izzo going deep each and every March. But again, an upset by Middle Tennessee State University on Friday, eliminating the highly favored Michigan State men's basketball from tourney action, has called Izzo to hold this press conference earlier than he would have liked to. And, you know, Izzo hit on a lot of things. You know, I was tweeting throughout that entire press conference because that's what we do as sports reporters, right? We tweet left and right. And you know, he had a few candid things to say when discussing what this loss means for his team. And he had to get a few things off his chest. I want you to hear what Tom Izzo had to say, just his beginning statement of the end of the year press conference. Here he is.
You know, I've gone through the 2-3 days of thinking, grieving, call it what you want to call it, including 10 minutes before I came down here, watched the film for the third or fourth time and tried to evaluate, you know, what we could have, should have done, what went on. And I just want to diffuse a couple of things that, you know, as you can imagine, the UP's excited about this loss because the amount of paper, the emails I got, my secretary prints them out, we're saving the UP with paper. You know, all the trees down there they're cutting because I want to diffuse a couple of things that I don't think any player looked past the game. I don't think any coach did. There's a human element when a 2 is playing a 15 that I don't think I'll ever be able to check until I can jump into somebody's head. But I know the way we practiced. I know the way we prepared. I know the way our seniors were. It doesn't even come across my mind. I don't feel any different than I felt that night. Did we make some defensive mistakes? Yes, we did. Was it a lack of anything? No, it wasn't. Did they make, I think in the second half, in the last 12 minutes, I think there were like 8 3-point plays made, either shots they made or 3-point finishes on fouls. I think there were 3 or 4 of those alone. And just like we said after the game, every run we made, they answered it. And they answered it with a 3-point play in one way or another. And that did take some of the wind out of our sail. But, you know, for a team that went through a lot this year, you know, would I have called a timeout earlier? Would I have changed defenses? Would I have... I mean, I can think of so many things that it's like when there's injuries, you know, the witch doctors come out and tell us all the way to heal them. I can't go that route, but I definitely want to make sure that one thing is stated here. Blame the coach for whatever you want to blame the coach for, and you guys have been awesome. But do not blame the players for not being ready to play or something. As good as those seniors have been, as good as this team has been all year. We won 16 Big Ten games, 16 of them, and I think we won by an average of like 16 or 18 points. I mean, it was some unbelievable deal. And when you do that, that means you're not overlooking people in a time when, you know, they were used to not overlooking people. We were blowing some teams out. And so that had nothing to do with it. The respect had nothing to do with it. Guys not being ready, problems in the locker room, my father's death. I'm trying to think of all the ones that I've read. not from you guys, from the, I better be kind, from the people out there. None of them are true. And we got beat by a team that played better than us that night. And but what I don't want to diminish is the accomplishments of the records this team set, and individually and collectively, team and personal, was an incredible year. Can you imagine that I'm answering questions about, did you start out too good? Did you have too good of a start? I mean, are people on Dial-A-Clue or what? I mean, did you start out too good? You know, it used to be never can win a preseason tournament. I would not have done one thing different all year except maybe not have the slew of injuries we had, which caused us to be still experimenting at the end of the year like we were at the beginning of the year. That part of it, nobody had any control of. And the parts that I did have control of, which there were some, could I have called a timeout? Could I have changed this? Could I have changed that? I wouldn't have done anything much different than I did. So that's what I should be criticized for. The players, my love and admiration and respect for those players will never wane one inch. I will not look at one guy. We had some guys that made some mistakes, and we had some guys that made great plays. If you would have told me that we were going to lose that game, I would have said no. If you would have told me we were going to shoot 55 and 46 from the three, I would have said, we'll win easy. If you, you know, all the things that are the norm, and that's why it's March Madness, that's why there's upsets, that's why we all pay attention. And if you ask me, what would I do next year to make sure that doesn't happen again? I couldn't give you an answer. I couldn't give you an answer. Because I didn't think there was anything that glaring. And I think that's what frustrates me so much, and I would think that's what frustrates people so much. When I had years when Kalen Lucas, you know, had the torn Achilles, there's a reason. You know, it's like somebody, I want to put it this way after losing my father, like somebody dies, though, if there's no reason. If there's a reason you died, you can stomach it. If there's no reason, it just happened. Walked off a curb. It's hard to deal with. Well, this is a game, and I'm not going to make it that big of a deal. But it was a special game with a special group on a team that I really felt before the tournament had a chance to make a serious run. And as I sit there and watch the other games, I do not feel one bit different.
So the big theme when listening to Tom Izzo's comments there, again, his opening comments as he held his end-of-the-year press conference, is that he has no regrets when it comes to how his team played in that game. Izzo felt as though his team was ready. They were prepared. They did everything they could to prepare for that one. And he didn't have any quarrels or quandaries with how his team performed in that game. And Izzo said that he must have watched, what, MTSU 15 times, and they never shot the way they did against Michigan State. And, you know, he also went on to say, you know, quote, I wish I could blame it on the officials. I'd be good at that, but I can't. He believes they were prepared in this one. Isaac, this is the first time you've heard these comments from Izzo. What is your reaction to that statement that Izzo felt as though his team did all they could do in preparation for this game?
I'm not convinced that the team might not have taken a mental day off or two thinking about Middle Tennessee State, thinking that maybe this game would be easier, more of a walk in the park than it actually was, which, of course, is natural. You're telling me that Kansas didn't do that same thing, that Oregon didn't do that same thing before their week one matchups. And you know what? That's natural for the higher seed. What wasn't natural, what wasn't expected, what isn't the norm for college basketball is for a number 15 seed to come out and play the way that Middle Tennessee State did. So was MSU as hyped up, as amped up for this game as they would have been against, say, Duke or another team of that stature? No, But at the same time, I think you have to give most of the credit to Middle Tennessee State. They won this game more than MSU lost it.
Definitely. I totally agree with you. And as the press conference went on, and I haven't cut it yet, but we're going to get this uploaded on the show because I think it's very important to play this. Izzo was asked the question whether or not he believes that Deontay Davis is going to make that leap to the NBA or come back. And he had an interesting back and forth with Associated Press sports writer and friend of the show, Larry Lage, that I think is very important. And you can get a peek inside the mindset of how Izzo views, one, social media, and number two, being prepared, I guess that's our word for the day, being prepared to make the leap from college basketball to the big leagues. So you want to stay tuned for that. I am going to make sure we get that on the air today, all right? Call in, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. We couldn't get him on the show yesterday. I think we were having some technical problems, but let's get to him right now. It's our dear friend and caller of the show, Jody from Canada. Jody, how are you doing, my friend?
Hey, how's it going?
I'm doing fantastic. Good to have you on. Good to hear your voice.
Yeah. Good to be on, man. Yeah. A couple things. First off, Everett, good luck tonight. It's tonight. And, you know, being up here, I'm not as following as much. Desi, Dale, DeCarlos, the fellas over there.
Yeah.
Everett, you know, good luck. Tell Dale I said hello. You know, I've known Dale back 77, I think, is when Irvin and Dale and those guys won the state championship.
Right. Okay. I'll let him know that, Jody. Definitely.
Yeah, I remember sitting up in the hospital having knee surgery when he was, when they were playing Eastern on television because they used to broadcast the games, Irvin and, you know, Everett versus Eastern. But yeah, tell Dale I said hello. Also, you know, it's kind of sad that we didn't get a chance to ride that ride a little longer because, you know, I followed Denzel and Bryn and, you know, followed Buckets and followed, you know, Harrison Docks and Boo Man and, you know, the Horfords and, you know, because that's all part of, you know, part of the Lansing basketball scene, mm-hmm. You know, and I just want to tell the young men, thank you for taking us on that ride with them. You know, it ended a little early and it's kind of a strange feeling, but, I enjoyed the ride. I enjoyed, you know, trying to get the games up here and, you know, doing whatever I could do to try to watch the games. And, and I don't ever want anyone to think that, you know, what I'm going to say now is wrong, but I'm going to explain it to you. That we had one major issue this year that I think we kind of overlooked, and I saw it when they played Oakland. That was when teams got going, we couldn't stop them. It was only a few games. It didn't happen a lot. You know, Oakland went for 93. Iowa twice went heavy on us, you know, because we weren't good matchups for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
so
I think...
So you think it's a defensive problem?
Defense problems. And, you know, I think a lot of that, and that's, you know, because as you look at the team defensively and what's happened in basketball nowadays is, you know, you don't really see a team that has that defensive stopper. Or they don't use the defensive stopper. Maybe there's a whole lot of other stuff that goes into it, you know. But I've always been a big fan of wanting to get a few more minutes for Alvin Ellis. Not the fact offensively, but with his long arms and his lateral quickness, he can kind of, you know, he can slow a pace down, and he's come in a game for a couple minutes and made a little changes in terms of the momentum and all those types of things. You know, I just think that, you know, when I saw them against Oakland, I thought, oh, man, you know, here we are giving up 93 to Oakland.
Mm,
you know,
right.
And,
very true.
You know, I mean, because I called one of my buddies a minute in the game and said, man, it's over. Because we couldn't, you know, the problem was is when we switched, when the high pick and roll and Zell was coming with the rock to do his thing, these cats were quick enough afoot to stay with him.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So when you have, you know, when you're 6'6", 6'7" guys, and you know, and you're coming off of that screen, and that's when he's normally killing people with his shot, with his drive, and with his drop, you know, dimes. And these guys were, you know, be able to step up and stay with you, you know, footwork wise and quickness wise. I thought, oh, we got problems.
Right. And you know what? Looking back, because I went back last night and looked at, you know, kind of that last half, you know, the second half in like 5 minutes left, just to look at Michigan State's defense and how they played Middle Tennessee State. And I tell you what, Jody, I mean, some of the shots that MTSU made? I mean, you just kind of throw up your hands and say, okay, that was good D, just better. Oh, I mean, how about, remember the Denzel Valentine, you know, play in which he's guarding his defender, and the defender just goes up Valentine right in his face, actually touched his forearm, and the shot goes in for an and one, a 4-point play. Do you remember that? Mm-hmm.
And I'm sitting there saying, that. I have it on tape.
Right. I mean, what more can Valentine do? I mean, it's just one of those games where you just look at it and say, man, it was just their night. I mean, they shot almost 60% from the floor, Jody. Just a remarkable night for Middle Tennessee State University. And on the contrary, you look at what Syracuse did, though. And, you know, Tom Izzo, and he talked about this in his press conference as well, Jody, that he hates playing, you know, he doesn't play zone defense. But I tell you what, Syracuse, them playing that zone defense against Middle Tennessee State slowed them down because it crowded the paint and it became a size matchup. And that's that. You know, Middle Tennessee State University isn't a big team. And you saw how Coleman was able to flourish for the Orangemen and pull out that W. So, hey, Izzo doesn't like zone, but it certainly could have been used to maybe, you know, some positivity against Middle Tennessee State for the Spartans on Friday.
Yeah, you know, I mean, yeah, you have to give Middle Tennessee State credit for hitting some shots and, you know, having that. I think probably going into that game, they probably knew they had a good chance of beating State. We may not have thought that,
right?
You know, but we're not playing. And, you know, they probably saw some things on film that, you know, Kermit Davis must have, you know, put it together, and they, you know, congratulations to him. But, you know, my thing is, when I look at it, I think you'll see a change in the next year, because you will probably see a more emphasis and a quicker, you know, young fellas getting quicker, young fellas getting and spending more time in the weight room, jumping them benches, and that explosion kind of stuff. You know, that's no knock on anybody on that squad, because, man, I mean, those kids played as hard as they could, and they gave us everything they had. You know, I'm really a big fan of Matt Costello, because there were some times that, you know, there were some big boys down there that he was banging with, and, mm-hmm. you know, the kids from Maryland, Carter, he was, you know, trying to hang on Carter, and
right. with
them big shoulders, Carter was knocking him around, and he was still in there fighting, you know.
Right.
So that's, you know, I mean, that's a Spartan, you know. So I, you know, I just wanted to say that. But I actually think, though, that as a team, as basketball changes, I guess is what it is that you have to find a way to compete totally athletically. And as you look at it, you know, Zale really put his work in. Brent's put his work in. Costello, you know, the young fella, I'd have liked to have seen a little more of young fella Davis at the, you know, maybe in the game. But, you know, I wasn't really, you know, watching to know where that, you know, what he wasn't doing, you know. So, but it was I'm still not kind of shaking about that one, because not shaking, but, you know, kind of surprised that happened. And last thing, last night, we're watching the Pistons. Well, up here, we're watching Game Time, and I'll be doggone if Dancing with the Stars wasn't on. And what did Mama Mac say? Mama Mac say, I want to see Dancing with the Stars at the end of the game.
Stop it.
I mean, you know, after Reggie Jackson went to the hole and made that layup.
Oh, come on. Are you
okay,
kidding
I'm
me?
Okay, I'm telling you. Hey, come on, man. I'm almost 60. I got to do right.
I see. I'm not. See, that's one aspect I'm not looking forward to. When I jump the broom, I'm going to have to go on my man cave. I'm going to have a man cave. I just sneak off to.
Come on now. We're sitting there and we're flipping through. I'm watching. I'm watching the end because Game Time on the NBA channel. And I'm like, all right, cool. And I didn't want to come in the bedroom and watch the end, you know, 12 seconds on the computer.
Right.
So I said, all right, baby. Next thing I know, she's like, I want to see such and such a dance. And happy wife, happy life.
That's true. That's so true.
It took me 9 million years to learn that, brother.
Oh, man. I'm taking notes, Jody. I'm taking notes, brother.
So sometimes I missed all the games Sunday, man, till the evening. Down with the in-laws, and I ain't never done that.
You know? Call of the day right here, my man Jody. Oh, goodness. Jody, great call. Hey, keep her happy. Keep her happy, all right?
You know it. All right, man. Have a great one.
Thank you so much, Jody. I guess that's why they make DVRs, I guess, right? Right, Isaac?
Yeah, exactly. That's the only possible explanation.
I will have me a man cave, though, all right? If the honey wants to check out Dancing with the Stars in the waning moments of a Piston game, we may have a problem, but, hey, if she wants to watch it, I'll turn the TV and go to my man cave.
Oh, I
must have
too.
A man cave.
How many TVs are you thinking?
Like three.
Yeah, I was
Why not?
The same.
You know, electric bill will be through the roof, but who cares? All right, let's go to line two right now. Before we hit our first break and bring Eric Doc Love on to talk some high school hoops, let's go to Austin, who's on line two. Austin, how you doing, my man? Do we have him? Austin? Is Austin there? Did he hang up? Austin.
Yeah.
We got him. Oh, we got him now. Austin, what's up, dude?
Not too much. How's it going, gentlemen?
I'm doing fantastic. What's on your noggin?
Not too much. First off, man, I just want to say I'm happy for you, man. I know you've been waiting for a long time for your sisters to do something good. You said always talk about them in college, and you're just depressed all the time. So I'm glad that they're finally putting a smile on your face.
Yeah, you know, you know those growing pains I went through, man. Since 04, I've been hurting, all right? So, yeah.
Right.
I'm not getting too high, though. There's still a lot of basketball left to play, so I'm keeping it in perspective, all right?
Exactly, man. Just about the press conference and everything, as far as Deonte Davis, I know you haven't played the clip yet.
Right.
But I hope and pray that he stays in college, because physically he's not ready for the NBA. Mentally he's not ready for the NBA, and skill-wise he's not ready for the NBA. He's an amazing talent, a great college player, but I really hope that he takes time to truly develop his game. And he's an example of the state of high school basketball right now, where kids' skills just aren't where they should be. I mean, if I'm in high school and I'm 6'7", man, I will be a rock. I mean, these guys are coming out of high school toothpicks at 7 feet, you know. And I think high school coaches, AAU coaches, need to really put an emphasis on developing these young men physically, because they're coming into the college game lost. You know, they look weak. And even Ben Simmons, I love his game, but physically and mentally, he just doesn't, you know, he doesn't have it all the way. He's an amazing college player, but they're just not ready for the NBA. And I think with the way that high school basketball is going, well, high school is obsolete now, so it's the AAU thing. People just aren't developing these kids' skills the way that they need to develop them.
I think that is very well said. I agree with you, Austin. Hey, Austin, great call, dude.
All right, you guys have a good one.
You too. I think that's a great take by Austin there, Isaac, because when evaluating and that's why so many college coaches are so against, you know, the from high school to NBA leap, because a lot of them, a few of them are ready, but a lot of them aren't. Not everybody's LeBron James. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You dig
yeah,
that?
I agree. I'm not a big fan of the one-and-done rule. I love the idea of maybe extending that another year, or even going back on that and saying, if you're ready for that jump from high school to the NBA, go for it. But what does 1 year in college give you? I'm not sure if anything really tangible, anything that you can hold on to. How much bigger are you going to get in 1 year of a college system? Not that much bigger. How much more experience? Not enough to justify missing out on all that money.
Right. And yeah, exactly. Exactly. And there's some risk that comes with making that leap. I'm going to go through that. I actually just uploaded the bite. We'll play it on the back end of the show. So stick around. You are not going to want to miss what Izzo had to say when concerning Deonte Davis possibly making that leap to the NBA. But in the meantime, let's hit our first break. When we come back, we'll invite our guest for today's show, Eric Doc Love, high school sports commentator for the team, 92.1 FM. Don't go anywhere. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Again, folks, happy, happy Tuesday. You know what, Isaac? I don't know if you are I meant to bring this up yesterday. Didn't have time to, though. I don't know if you are a big TV show guy. I'm a huge TV show guy. But
Al, we've been over this. I don't like Love and Hip Hop. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you won't. Well, not. That's reality TV. TV shows and reality TV is a little bit different. But, you know, I watch everything. I watch everything.
I know.
And one of my favorite shows just came out with season 2 on Netflix, Daredevil. I don't know if you watch Daredevil.
Oh,
you watch Daredevil?
Wait,
oh,
you and I are going to have a nice long talk after the show.
It's off the chain. I just finished. I'm only on episode 5 of season 2, but it's
Me
off
too.
The chain, dude. Okay,
Me
so
too.
We'll have a nice chat. But okay, you're already watching it then. You're already watching it. So I won't even go down that road. But it's a great show. If you haven't checked out Daredevil, whoa, you are missing out. All right. Well, let's get to our guest for today's show. He is certainly a friend of the show. He's been on multiple times with us, and he's going to give us a rundown of an exciting night. What's slated to be an exciting night of boys high school basketball action. Of course, the quarterfinals start tonight. We have according to our coverage area, four local teams that will be playing. You got Lansing Everett facing Hudsonville, the Hornets of Williamston to face off against River Rouge, Ithaca taking on Flint Beecher, and Fulton playing Bel Air. To preview those games and to talk much more, Eric Doc Love, high school sports commentator for the team, 92.1 FM. Eric, my man, 50 grand. How you doing?
What's up, Al? Thanks for having me on.
Oh, it's always great having you on, Doc. Now, first off, I want to start. Can we just rewind time for just a bit here? I want to talk about that Lansing Everett versus East Lansing game, because it was an outcome that no one really saw coming. The third time that the Trojans and the Vikings met, East Lansing fallen for the first time all year. Doc, how shocking was that?
It was pretty shocking, Al. Everett has really made a big turnaround since going 500, 10-10 in the regular season, and then making a couple of comebacks this year in the playoffs. And Coach Ferguson really got those guys going, and it was a huge upset. A lot of people expected East Lansing to win for a third time this year, but the Vikings, that precious defense got to them out.
You know, they say in basketball, Doc, that it's so tough to, after you've beaten a team twice, to beat them a third time. Why do you think that stigma, you know, reveals itself in basketball?
Well, you know, that third time is always the toughest. And Jesse Goldberg Strasser and I have talked about this a couple of times. And, you know, unless you were absolutely above them talent wise, you can get them a third time. But you're such familiar opponents that the first time, maybe speed things up a little bit, and they just make a couple of those plays late. But Everett has that ability, and they did. I thought they got East Lansing last week because they figured out just a little bit more on that third of the time.
Right, Virg, and I think that we may be having some signal issues. You're fading in and out, but I got the gist of what you're saying there. And you know what? A player who has really stood out to me in this area, who I don't think gets enough credit, I think he's one of the best basketball players this area has, and that is Jamyron Jackson. You know, when you put in perspective what Jackson has been able to do for this squad around this time of the year, what makes Jackson so good, Doc?
Well, it started last year in the playoffs. He was number two, obviously, to Trevor Manuel for Everett, but Jamyron Jackson's lights out, and he doesn't need a lot of space to get a shot off. I mean, the guy, he's quick, you know, he's a good defender, and he's got unlimited range, essentially. And, you know, being a senior this year, he's really stepped up here in the playoffs and been playing his best basketball so far.
Very true. He's certainly exciting to watch. Again, we are chatting with Eric Doc Love, high school sports commentator for the team, 92.1 FM. Now, I believe, Doc, you and Jesse will be at the Williamson versus River Rouge game. Is that correct?
That's myself and Keaton Gologli, actually.
Keaton Gologli, so he's filling in.
Yeah. Jesse's got a previous engagement. But, we're going to be out in Charlotte for that quarterfinal between Williamson and River Rouge. And Williamson, they've played the upset a couple times already in the playoffs, Al, as you know. And they're looking to get another one tonight.
Give us a preview of that one. And also, you know, also an intriguing, you know, underlying undertone for this story is, of course, the situation concerning Jason Bauer, who is the head coach of the Williamson Hornets. It was, you know, news came out that he had brain tumors. He had successful surgery. He was actually at their previous game leading up to this matchup against River Rouge. It was great to see him in the building. What was your reaction to that Jason Bauer story? And how do you think this team is rallying behind him to get the dub for their coach?
It was strange. Keaton and I were doing the district semifinals out there in Fowlerville between Williamson and Lansing Sexton. And we didn't see Coach Bauer on the sidelines. We saw Riley Lewis's dad, Tom, was coaching. We weren't quite sure what was going on. And we had gotten word at some point during that game that he potentially was in the hospital with something. And, you know, it was very shocking. We found out more, obviously, the next day is what was going on. But, I mean, this team has been rallying around, and obviously it's been Bauer's strong for everybody in Williamson recently. And I mean, the guys were fired up and ready to go, and they were playing really, really good basketball at the end of the season. And, you know, they just kind of kept things going. And, you know, it's a little extra motivation with your coach being out like that, but I think the guys were already ready to make a play like that.
Now, is there any update, Doc, as to Coach Bauer maybe manning the sidelines and getting back to coaching his squad, or has he relieved those duties for the rest of the year to Riley Lewis's dad?
I haven't heard anything in the last couple of days, Al, but I am assuming that he's still out. He would probably be in attendance tonight in the stands like he was last week for the regional final, but I don't think he's able to go out there and coach as of yet. I think they're probably going to take things slow, you know, let him recover. I mean, it hasn't even been 2 weeks since he had brain surgery, so I would imagine he's probably just going to be there cheering out his team.
Gotta love that. All right, Doc, give us a preview of that one. Williamston versus River Rouge. What type of team is River Rouge, and how has Williamston gotten here?
Well, River Rouge, they're ranked number 6 in the state in Class B. Williamston's class is number 10. River Rouge, they're number 1. No,
Doc, I'm sorry to cut you. I think we're really having some connection problems here. I don't know what's going on, but you're kind of fading in and out. It's like you're in a tunnel. But can we hear Doc? Do we still have Doc there? Doc,
I'm here. Can you hear
okay,
me? Still
there. Okay, we got you now. Let's try it. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Cell phone issues, man.
I'm telling you, man. Connection issues. That's live radio, baby. Go ahead, Doc.
Well, I said River Rouge. They're number 6. They knocked off number 1 Onsted last week in a regional final. You might know Austin Davis. A guy going to Michigan.
Definitely, yeah.
And he played for Onsted. Well, River Rouge, they got past them last week. They had knocked off Ann Arbor, Gabriel Richard before that. And River Rouge, I mean, they're a team that Williamson actually beat last summer in scrimmages. Mm-hmm. Obviously, that was a long time ago. And, you know, things have changed, obviously. But River Rouge, you know, a balanced team. They got a couple of really thick guys. They've won 11 straight games. And the last time they lost, it was to Flint Beecher, who's the number 1 in Class C. And this is a team that really doesn't have anybody back from last season. They have 2 seniors on the squad for River Rouge, but they didn't get a lot of playing time last year. So they got a whole new squad, essentially, coming in there. And they're one of the hottest teams alongside Williamson.
Certainly. So you have Williamson, Everett, Flint Beecher, Ithaca going against Flint Beecher. Then you have Fulton. Who do you think has the best shot of taking this thing all the way to the Breslin and possibly winning a state championship, Doc?
It's tough matchups all along the board, Al. I mean, Everett's playing Hudsonville. That's a tough matchup. Hudsonville's been playing great lately. They knocked off Muskegon last week. Williamson, like I said, they beat River Rouge in the summer, but it's going to be tough. As far as can the Hornets handle the River Rouge pressure, they do a lot of full court pressing and trapping. Now, obviously, Winston got past Cowan Heights last week, the defending state champ, and they were able to handle that. So, I don't know. Ithaca 1 versus Beecher, Beecher's always tough. They seem to always be in the finals if they're not winning it. And Fulton's got a tough one with Bel Air. It's tough, Al. Fulton may be with the edge over Bel Air because of Colton Antis and how well he's been playing for that squad. Williamson might be right after that. A lot of people are picking Williamson to win this game tonight.
Wow. Okay. So now, in looking at Williamson, you know, Doc, you know, it always fascinates me. I say this every March, you know, how, you know, you play opposition that you normally don't see, you know, because you're playing most likely opposition that's out of your conference around this time of the year and playing some of the best teams in the state. What's the preparation like for our local teams, you know, with such a short timeline to prepare for an entirely new monster, if you will? That's got to be stringent on the coaching staff.
Well, you got to rely sometimes on other coaches that can help you out. Now, if you've got coaches in the fraternity that are friends, and you're like, well, you know, do you have tape of this team? You know, can you send us something? What can you tell us about what they do? But, I mean, for the most part, it's just working on your game. And, you know, you just want to make sure that everything is crisp. You know, if you've got your press breaker in, you got your zone buster, you just make sure everything is running at 100% for your squad, then you just got to, you don't have to spend as much time preparing for the other team. Just do your game and do it to the best of ability.
Eric Doc Love, high school sports commentator for the team, 92.1 FM. All right, Doc, I'm going to put you on the spot here. Out of those 4 games, Lansing Everett, Hudsonville, Williamston, River Rouge, Ithaca, Flint Beecher, and Fulton and Bel Air, who do you got pulling out dubs? Which local team do you think move on tonight?
Oh, man, you put me on the spot.
I am.
Oh,
I always do. You know how it is. I do it all the time, baby. You know what's coming.
I don't like to make picks like this, you know. I'm too much pressure, Al. I mean, obviously, as well as Everett's defense has been playing, if they can shoot well enough, I think they can beat Hudsonville tonight, that's for sure.
Okay.
The same with Williamston. I mean, like I said, if they can handle that River Rouge Panthers press and get some buckets out of it, Riley Lewis has been having an amazing playoff. You know, that guy's averaging 33 points a game in the playoffs. I think Williamson's got a good chance as well. It's going to be tough for Ithaca against Beecher. And honestly, I could possibly see three teams moving on tonight. I think Ithaca would be the toughest one.
Okay. All right, Doc, again, yourself and Keaton Gologli will have the call tonight as Williamston will take on, of course, River Rouge. How can people listen to that broadcast, and how can they follow your work, Doc?
Well, obviously on the air, 92.1 FM. If you cannot get the air signal, go to the website, team921fm.com. We're always streaming there, or we have the app. Obviously, there's a free app for it. And follow us on Twitter, man. I am at DocLove921 or at the team. 921 FM. That's us on Twitter. Follow us, man, and hopefully we'll have some games at Breslin Center this week.
I will look forward to seeing you down there if some local teams can make it there. Doc, you do an outstanding job. Looking forward to the call tonight, my friend. Kill it like always.
Hey, thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Eric Doc Love, one the only. Gotta love his work. He does a great job, folks. All right, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. You know what? We're going to scrap the second break. We're going to scrap it all together. I know many of you have been asking about this Deontay Davis, but I need to do that more often. Just tease one thing, one intriguing thing to keep you guys around on Current Sports Radio here. But again, Tom Izzo addressed Deontay Davis making that leap, one and done possibly, from college to the pros. And here's what he had to say, an interesting back and forth between Izzo and Larry Lage of the Associated Press.
Another question on DD. So you kind of have a sense that he's coming back? I mean, is that your gut feeling now? Or, I mean, you've been through this a lot. I mean, how – you said ask you anything, so.
I'm cool with it. I'm cool with it.
Kind of your gut feeling now that he is coming back? You think he's coming
back? If I say that, I have no feeling right now. Because I really haven't addressed it. And the people I talk to that matter. But in this game, there are some incredible people talking to incredible kids. And so I don't know, you know, I know Didi knows what he has to get better at, whether he thinks he can get better at that here, whether he can get better at there. I don't know. But I have no problem with the question. How would you answer?
I mean, I would try to be as forthcoming as I can. I mean, it's a question because, you know, whoever does the
okay,
mock
so
draft.
If I say, man, I'm not sure, how does that get tweeted out?
Tom Izzo says he's not sure.
You think so? How does it get, how do you think it gets read?
That I can't interpret.
You're a writer. No question. Or Izzo thinks he's staying, or Izzo's trying to keep him here, or Izzo's trying to... I mean, I can't... Right. I mean, right. If you want me to answer honestly, then buck up.
Right, well, I
so
mean...
So don't be giving me that kind of answer, then buck up.
I mean, I would read
man
that
up.
I would read that as he's not sure. How does the public read it? I don't know. I mean, I can't pretend to think what the public... How
but isn't that your job?
It. No.
No?
My job is to get the facts as close as I can and let people
all
decide
right, well, here,
what they
here
want.
Be the facts. I'm not arguing with you.
I'm not either. I'm just having a conversation.
The facts are, I don't know.
Right. You're going to assist him.
I'm going to assist him. I'm going to talk to GMs. I'm going to talk to his high school coach and his grandmother. And I'm going to talk to Didi. I'm going to probably give him my personal opinion. And I'm going to remind everybody that you have to be ready to go physically. You have to be ready to go skill-wise. And you have to be ready to go mentally. And so, you know, a lot of times they see a lot of people in a lot of different ways. I'm also going to look at, you know, where the trend is now. The trend is not as many people are coming out because they don't want to go to the D League. They don't want to go to this and that. They don't want to survive in that. And we're starting to get more numbers on the number of kids that fail. All I want for Deontay Davis is for him to be successful. until Hollis tells me, I'm keeping my job whether Deontay Davis is here or not. You know?
Fair enough.
And if somebody wants it, that's okay too. You know,
And you want him and all your guys to get not just get in and get a cup of coffee, but to get in, stay, and contribute and get 2, 3, 4 contracts, right? I mean, isn't that the ultimate goal?
The ultimate goal is that, and that is what I think is changing in that. There's getting to be more guys that are coming out and maybe not ready to come out. And, you know, but that's another thing, you know, you can say you don't know how it's taken. How do you think it's taken when that is put out there a month ago? How do you think that's taken? By people, by the players, by everybody. You know, like, he's ready to go. I mean, I tell Dick Vitale that all the time, you know. They should stay in school. Well, by the way, he's the number one pick, you know. I mean, how do you take that? It's very difficult, and it's very difficult from our standpoint because anything I say is going to get misinterpreted. I mean, here's what I will say. I would like to do whatever I can do to give Deontay Davis the best chance to be successful, to be the most equipped to handle the real world. And if that means he comes out tomorrow, I'm 200% for it. If that means he stays 3 years, I'm 200% for that. That's the most honest answer I can give you.
Yeah. So there you have Tom Izzo. And we're planning on tomorrow's show as well. I mean, that was a pretty heated interaction between Izzo and Larry Lage because, you know, Izzo believes that many things have been taken out of context via social media. Rumors coming out that, quote-unquote rumors coming out that Deontay is a first-round draft pick in the NBA. So, yeah, interesting thoughts. What do you think about that rant? Go to Facebook.com/CurrentSports or tweet me at AlMartinWKR and I will read your comments live on tomorrow's show. Before we get out of here, Ray, we've only got 2 minutes. We really quick call here. Ray from Indiana. Ray, how you doing?
Hey, boss. I got some bad news first. Michigan, I called them in the last 2 days. They won't talk to me. The bully still won't talk to me. That means next year Michigan State and Ohio State put a good whipping on them in football and basketball. Have a good night. God bless you.
Thank you, Ray. Appreciate that. I tell you, we know where that was going, Isaac. That's a way to end the show, right?
Oh, it is. End it with a bang, a shotgun bang, not nice or a pistol, as Tom Izzo says. Buck up.
Yeah, I know, right? Buck Ooh. Up. Be a man. That's what he said. When that occurred. Because I don't know if I've ever, no, I can't tell it because it was off the record. I can't tell about my interaction because a similar thing happened to me last year when Tom Izzo held his end of the year presser. But I won't talk about it because it was off the record. But the situation with Larry and Tom, and we were sitting there and immediately when Tom said that, I mean, everybody looks to Larry and Larry did a great job of handling himself. He said, yeah, I mean, I can interpret what the public thinks here. You know what I mean? So basically, you know, this is why Izzo hates social media. He believes that rumors start out there and it feeds into these young minds of his players and it can be taken out of context. And whatever Tom Izzo says, if he says that, hey, I think that Deontay Davis could benefit from another year, he's going to be looked at as saying, okay, yeah, you're only saying that because you want to benefit your program, not help this young man. So I have an interesting take on this. We will dive into that on tomorrow's show, but I want to give a special shout-out again to Eric Doc Love, high school sports commentator for the team, 92.1 FM. You can catch him broadcasting at 7 p.m. the Williamston and River Rouge High School boys basketball quarterfinal game at 7 p.m. Thanks so much, Doc, for joining me and all of you out there for listening. You have been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, right here on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. As always, take care, have one fantastic afternoon, and be easy, people.